The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with Bob Dio on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing the show. Bob, we have a very full program that will even include a raccoon. So, I mean, we have a lot of content today on the Buckmaster Show, Wednesday edition, July 10th, 2010, 2019. Hope you're having a good day and listening to 1030 Tucson's voice for trusted local news and talk. We've got so much to cover that I'm going to get right into our first newsmaker interview today. Steve Christie with us, Pima County Supervisor, Republican from District Number 4.
Good afternoon, Bill, and I think I have reached the height of my career when I'm sharing the studio with a raccoon.
There you go. Raccoon is in with Bob in the control room, and
I know I've made it now.
You have made it indeed. When all was said and done, Steve Christie, tell me about this budget. It was a 3-2 vote along party lines. There had been a lot of talk in the media about this was really a different kind of budget. It actually carried over in a few days into the fiscal year, the new fiscal year, something that hadn't been done in a long time. Normally, a budget is approved before the end of the fiscal year. This one was approved early in the new fiscal year. But when all is said and done, what was this spending package about?
Well, first of all, just because it wasn't passed initially doesn't mean that it has to, because we have till August 6th to actually pass a budget.
Yeah, a lot of people don't understand that there is a little leeway in the
state
law.
There is a little leeway, and it was a good thing that we had that leeway, because it led to some very productive discussions. And I have to say, this is my third budget cycle, and it was the most positive, robust, on a very civil and thoughtful and reflective nature. Supervisor Miller brought forth a lot of ideas. I kind of liken it to a baseball player. She came out with her cleats on and her pitching mitt and her ball cap, and she started to throw some really good strikes. And it resonated, those strikes resonated with at least three other supervisors, Supervisor Valadez, Supervisor Bronson, and myself. And it provoked a very thoughtful, intelligent discussion about the budget and how we should approach it. This budget that was presented by Mr. Huckleberry had some very good ideas in it. First of all, was this pay-as-you-go program, which basically, in a nutshell, says you accumulate monies out of the general fund, which is like your household account, and you save from your household account, and you accumulate funds to do capital improvement projects. And it's a very wise and, I think, a timely and thoughtful way of approaching the budget. There were some raises for deputies, but the one goal that Supervisor Miller and others, I'd say the three others, including myself on the board, wanted to investigate deeply, was trying to make the budget as property tax neutral as possible, with the primary property tax rate being reduced, which it was already being reduced in Mr. Huckleberry's presentation by 7 cents. But if you take that rate and you apply it against the rising values of the property, you're going to pay more in taxes, even if you reduced the rate that is charged against that valuation. So we were exploring ways of trying to keep the good things in the budget, but by the same standpoint, trying to reduce that rate to kind of balance off the valuation, so when folks have to write their property tax check, it could be as close to property tax neutral as possible. I think where the misconception is about voting against or voting for the budget was, I initially moved that we extend the budget process to one more meeting, which we did. We put it off from June into July.
Right.
And as we were progressing in this discussion, and a very positive discussion, I really felt if we had one more meeting before the August 6th deadline,
right,
which we could have easily have done.
Uh-huh.
We could have found ways, I think, to have reduced that tax rate even more to offset the rising valuations to reduce the property
and
tax.
And thus have a possible unanimous vote for the first time in many, many years. I can't recall when there's been a unanimous vote on that.
My colleagues on the board felt that was enough discussion and that there was enough reasoning and justification to proceed. I didn't feel that way. Supervisor Miller didn't feel that way. We could have used one more meeting, and it didn't happen, and that is the resultant budget that we did accept.
And you know what your constituents ask you, though.
What's that?
What about the roads?
Oh, not only my constituents, my wife.
Is exactly. There anything in there for roads?
Yes, that was one of the good things that with this pay-as-you-go format, it allows an accumulation of an additional $5 million out of the general fund, which has never happened before. And if you take the HERF funds, the reduction in payments to past bonds, and also some existing funds that are remnants of earlier plans, we're going to have, I think, and I could be wrong, but I think one of the most largest amounts of road repair accumulated funds I don't want to say our history, but in a long time. We're looking at some $26 to $30 million for road repair funds. So I was hoping if we had one more meeting, we might be able to carve out another $5 million. The majority on the board didn't want to do that. At this particular time, they wanted to set the budget and move on. I wish we had that other meeting so there wasn't an exploration of potentially taking out another $5 million, but This is the final result.
All right. Matthew has called us at 790-2040. Hey, Matthew.
Hey, first of all, I want to compliment the board and Supervisor Christie and Allie and Sharon and Ramon and Richard, because they did work hard. I was there in the gallery as they were moving this discussion, and I watched Supervisor Christie. I think he's absolutely right. I was, you know, offering prior to this some ideas on where they could find some money other than flood control and get to tax neutral. And I think he was close to getting one more meeting. I think you might have been able to do it. I think you answered my question in your conversation, because I was going to ask, did you get a final figure on what the 1% cut was that you requested of the departments as part of this budget? For that cushion. So okay. I guess maybe that's the $5 million. If that's correct, could you let me know? And that's it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Sure. The July 5th memorandum from Mr. Huckleberry states that the 1% reduction will be applied to the property tax supported component of the county budget. And the amount specified is right at $3.6 million. That has to be spread out over all the general fund funded agencies. So how that pans out is going to be an interesting. But the number that they're looking for with that 1% is just a little over 3.6 million, almost 3.7.
Steve Christie is with us, Pima County Supervisor, on 1030 Tucson's trusted local news and talk. Now, what about flood control? There had been talk that money would be taken away. Did that happen?
No, it didn't. A number of ideas were asserted where we could possibly reduce costs and expenditures. None of them came to fruition for a number of reasons. Basically, we didn't want to sacrifice pay-as-you-go. We didn't want to sacrifice the $5 million carved out. And there are some legitimate projects in all of those other taxing districts that the supervisors, my colleagues, felt needed justifiable support. You don't know with flood control what can happen. The flood control districts do have substantial monies, but substantial monies from the flood control districts are utilized, as we well know, from time to time, more often than not, due to serious flooding. So those are all kind of stand pat. We looked at a number of other things from the general fund, but flood control, it will remain in place.
All right, Buckmaster, pausing right here to talk about my favorite bakery. Do you know what my favorite bakery is?
Are you
I'm asking Steve Christie.
I have listened to your show many
Mona's
Danish Bakery.
Home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Open right now, Steve, for lunch. They're doing the breakfast now. They got all the proper county permits, and it took a little time, you know, but everything's up to speed. Steve, the owner, has put in a new grill, so they're open every morning at 6:30 for breakfast. And, of course, you can do breakfast pretty much. If you want breakfast right now, yeah, you can do it. But you also can do your lunch, and the sandwiches, the breads are great. Check it out. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is their website. There's also a link to Mona's and all of the great partners of the Buckmaster Show.
I'm sorry to say that was the toughest question you've asked me in all the times I've been on your show.
There you go. Well, you know, now you know Mona's Danish Bakery.
I always hear you
talk it up.
You bet.
And Mona's, a link to Mona's at buckmastershow.com. More with Steve Christie. There's certainly a lot to talk about right after we take the break here on the Buckmaster Show on a day that we always have a lot of content on this program, but today we really are going to cram a lot of material in 1 hour. Be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To sign up for RTA updates, visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an Ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Welcome back. It's the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. What a great area of the Southwest. Over in the Southwest area, the corner there of the Land of Enchantment. 3-hour drive. That's about it from the Tucson area. The big signature event is coming up here July 15th. It's a full week of everything to do with clay. We're talking pottery. It's like a pottery festival, and it's called the Silver City Clay Festival. This is something you might want to definitely check out over in Silver City. Good starting place, southwestnewmexico.org for the complete listing of many places to stay, really nice places, and all sorts of recreation opportunities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Pima County Supervisor Steve Christie is with me in studio. Steve, have you spent any time? I know you love to do road trips. You've always been associated with automotive industry for, was it 40 years?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Have you been over to that area of New Mexico?
I have, and it's absolutely stunning.
It is.
And it's a beautiful drive. Of course, I love Pima County, but to have that ability to go over there to Silver City in that area, it's really a real treat.
Yeah, road trip.
Yep.
You were in the automotive business a long time, and I just was curious about Lee Iacocca. We lost Mr. Iacocca, I believe, at the age of 89. What an incredible career Lee Iacocca had, and you being in the automotive business. In fact, someone was telling me that if you Google your name, Steve Christie still comes up. Steve Christie Jeep will come up.
Yeah.
But anyway, you knew Mr. Iacocca.
Well,
you met him.
As far as knowing, let's say I never had dinner with him, or I never went to his house, or he came over to mine. But I certainly saw him on a number of occasions and shook hands with him and had brief chats with him at various dealer meetings over the course of when he bought our parent company, which at that time was American Motors, and he bought it primarily to acquire the Jeep brand. And I remember when he did that, it was a real, he was really sticking his neck out. And the corporate makeup of the divisions of Chrysler Corporation at that time were Chrysler Plymouth and Dodge Trucks. And those dealers, the Dodge and Chrysler dealers, they just raised holy hell, saying to Iacocca, what are you spending corporate treasure and assets on American Motors?
Right.
And it came to fruition that getting the Jeep brand is really what saved and made Chrysler Corporation a very viable and profitable company. So prescience, his ability to see something into the future and to recognize an opportunity, which he did, I think speaks of his leadership and of his talents. And the other thing that I think we have to point out real quickly with him is his ability to recognize that he was the best spokesman for the corporation.
Yeah.
If you can find a better car, buy it.
Yeah.
And that resonated with all of the buying public of automobiles, and it became kind of an icon, and he did as well, and deservedly so.
He became the face of the industry,
let's face it.
He certainly was a visionary.
He went all the way back with Ford Motor Company.
Sure, and the Mustang and everything else. What about this Tucson Detention Center? It's the juvenile detention center. Apparently there's a lot of space over there, Steve Christie, that's not being used, so much so that Catholic Community Services will go before you and your colleagues on August 6th to ask if this could become, if part of the juvenile facilities could be used to house migrants. On the face of it, what's your kind of your first impression about this?
Well, my first impression is the overarching issue is that this is an issue that we should not be having to deal with single-handedly here in Pima County. The issues of asylum, the issues of immigration or deportation, all of those issues should be dealt, in my view, at the border or on the other side of the border, not here in Pima County. And how Pima County became or was chosen or agreed to become a clearinghouse for immigration policies is very troubling to me. And more than anything that I can see, too, is this detention center, the youth detention holding center, whatever, it's a relatively new facility, and it seems to be overbuilt. How come we can accommodate all of these folks seeking asylum in a publicly taxpayer-funded facility that has not and is not being used? It's overbuilt. How did that happen? Secondly, with Catholic Community Services, they are being given a $100 a year lease to operate out of those taxpayer-funded holding centers. And, you know, as a businessman, I'm thinking, boy, that's one hell. I wish I had gotten those kinds of terms on a number of leases I had or purchases, but I don't. But granted, this is different. This is a humanitarian process. But it really speaks to the fact that there is a huge dysfunction in our immigration policies, that we should not be left alone, high and dry, the Lone Ranger in Pima County to deal with this. Where's the state of Arizona? I don't hear any any interest on the state of Arizona to come help fund or provide for this situation?
Are you surprised by these numbers? 10,000 asylum seekers just, I believe, since I think that figure is right, since January.
No, I'm not surprised because these kinds of figures have been touted out for a year now. Hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people a year are seeking asylum. I was led to believe through my involvement basically as a participant in the Arizona Border Counties Coalition. They led me through the process of how asylum seekers enter the country and what happens to them here. My first question to the group of them was, once they're here, you say they're just traveling through. Where are they traveling through? To where? And I was assured that they were not allowed into this country as an asylum seeker unless they had a financial sponsor somewhere else. And I said, well, who would that be? And the response I got was it was usually families elsewhere in the country that would fund the money to the asylum seekers to take them in and take care of them. Then I thought, well, at least there's monies being used to transport these people. And if they're traveling through to somebody else that's going to take care of them, that lends a different picture on the whole issue. Yeah. But then I read a memorandum several weeks ago from our county administrator that said, hopefully they are being given monies to travel to a final destination. But why Pima County is the Lone Ranger on this issue is beyond me. How did we get chosen to have to handle this huge influx of people that either you put them into a holding situation like we are with the youth detention centers, or they're left to fend for themselves on the street? It's not a good alternative.
No, and
we've
been very fortunate that Ross Rolney, the developer here in town, who now owns the former Benedictine Monastery on North Country Club Road, through the goodness of his heart, has opened up that facility for a while until he is ready to go with his development plans.
But has it not sent a message to folks south of the border that, hey, Tucson is a great place to come to because there's all kinds of opportunities for shelter, for food, for help, for asylum? How did that happen? And why did it happen?
So you want these questions answered before you're ready to make a vote on this?
Absolutely. And I also am concerned that Stone Garden funds have been earmarked to pay for the costs of holding these folks in any kind of facility, be it at the monastery or at the youth detention center. But we have no guarantees that Stone Garden funds will be allowed to be used for this. So Pima County taxpayers, unless we get something more definitive from the Stone Garden grants people or Sheriff Napier, who could say, yes, we will get the money for humanitarian purposes. I haven't seen that yet. We could be on the hook here for a lot of money, a lot of costs for a lot of people.
All right. To summarize our conversation with Steve Christie, you were very pleased that the budget process at least moved in the right direction. Did I characterize that correctly?
Yes,
right?
Did.
And you have all sorts of questions about the situation with migrant families being housed in the Pima County Juvenile Detention Facility in space that is not being utilized.
And who's going to pay for it?
There you go. All right, Steve Christie, always a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for having me on your program, Bill. Appreciate
this
it.
This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by our friends at Green Things, 3384 East River Road. Steve, I'm not going to ask you about whether you're a gardener. Well, I'll ask you. Do you do any gardening? I know you love flowers, right?
No, so I do, shall we say, I'm not an avid gardener, but I like to look at somebody else's work that they've done.
All right. Well, you can see some great work that's being done at Green Things over there by the Rito River. It's just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. It's become a destination in itself. It's a 13-acre site. They've done just developing that site into just a destination in itself, not only for your nursery needs, but now Zocalo, all that great merchandise, much of it hand-carved from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. They've kind of created, and they have, with five shops, a whole Zocalo village at Green Things. Go to Green Things, AZ.com for more information.
My wife shops there, and she's the one with the green thumb.
There you go. A testimonial from Pima County Supervisor Green, I almost said Green Things, Supervisor Steve Christie about Green Things. Lots more to come on the Buckmaster Show. We'll take the break right here.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, FlowersRieger.com.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at SierraTucson.com. Or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. The following segment made possible by our friends out at Sierra Tucson. Bill Reynolds is with me in studio. Bill is the director of Military and First Responder Trauma Recovery Program out at Sierra Tucson. And they have an integrative model of care that is so critical in healing trauma. It's something called the Red, White, and Blue program at Sierra Tucson. We're going to hear all about that. But first, I want to say welcome to Bill Reynolds. Bill, nice to meet you, and thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much, Bill. Happy to be here.
Well, you know, when we talk about trauma, I think trauma means probably something different to almost everybody you would bring it up to. But it's so important when you talk about PTSD trauma, and it doesn't just affect military personnel. What about our first responders, Bill?
Well, the first responders are the ones that are out there on a, you know, day in, day out basis facing all kinds of, you know, basically treacherous situations. You know, so they're exposed to quite a bit of nasty stuff out there, and over time, you know, we just know that it does take its toll.
There's been problems. I know suicide is three times, Bill Reynolds, the national rate among police officers.
Well, it is. And it's just the news just keeps coming out, the negative news, unfortunately. Within the past month, I think there was, I know at least four, if not five, New York City police officers that have committed suicide.
Mm.
So that's just, you know, that's just a very, very high number. And people definitely need help.
Yeah, I mean, it's just really a bad situation. I think as of mid-June, there were 97 law enforcement suicides in the United States. And, of course, that's one, certainly one of those is one too many. Tell me, Bill, about the Sierra Tucson integrative model. How do you handle trauma?
So when we talk about integrated care, what we do is we basically treat the mind, the body, and the spirit. So, you know, oftentimes if somebody can go to a treatment center, let's say for alcoholism, well, they'll go to that treatment center and they'll just focus on the alcoholism, let's say. What we do is, you know, we look at the whole person. So typically when you remove the alcohol or whatever substance, let's say a person is abusing, generally, there is a very high correlation with trauma, and often people have underlying mood disorders, anxiety disorders, chronic pain. I mean, human beings are complicated people. So the great thing about Sierra Tucson is that we have so many services under one roof, where typically if you were out in town, you know, like at your regular doctor's appointment, you would have to have multiple different appointments. So that's what we talk about integrated care, is really getting to the root of that. In addition to treating medical problems such as sleep apnea or insomnia, hypertension, you name it.
Big stigma still associated with trauma, Bill.
Yeah. The stigma is something that we're really trying to get the word out, and especially amongst first responders and military guys. You know, there's our population has a tendency to be a kind of a machismo, you know, tough. We can do it. We can suck it up. That's what that's what I was certainly taught during my career in the Navy, is you keep going. So when somebody finally does have the courage to raise their hand and ask for help, it's really a big thing. And many people come to us with lots of shame and embarrassment, and we work closely.
What's the first step when somebody comes with that kind of, when they present with that kind of shame? What would be the first step, Bill?
I think reassurance and just education. You know, when I meet with my patients, that's one of the first topics that we talk about. So I like to educate people that anytime somebody makes it into a treatment center, it's a miracle. It really is. And I know that sounds like hyperbole, but, you know, the statistics out there, I think it's the latest statistic I heard, is less than 10% of people with substance use problems get treatment, for example. So it's a good thing. You know, they may be embarrassed and feel guilty about some of their behaviors while they were involved with said substance, but yeah, so we could do a lot to destigmatize that.
So they're getting through the day, Bill Reynolds, with alcohol or drugs or both, perhaps, to kind of to self-medicate themselves to get through the day. Am I accurate there?
That's correct.
Yeah. So that's a big problem too. It's great that they walk in the door, but then those issues have to be dealt with.
Absolutely. Well, especially with alcohol, a lot of people don't realize this, but you know, we've seen many people that just stop, you know, people that have been drinking for a long time. If you just stop drinking, all of a sudden you can develop a seizure. So we have actually a specialized medical unit up at Sierra Tucson, where we are able to safely medically supervise and do detoxification for people to make sure. And again, they get people that come in, get a head to toe physical exam, they get labs, they get psychiatric evaluation. So it's a head to toe look.
This is important to you, the Red, White, and Blue program, not only because you are a veteran, you're a retired lieutenant commander from the Navy, I believe. You spent over 30 years in the Navy. You were a submariner. I guess you are a submariner. Once a submariner,
right.
You're always a submariner. But the Red, White, and Blue program is something that really has become almost a signature program at Sierra Tucson. Bill, tell me a little bit about it.
So we know that military, you know, as military veterans and first responders, and that includes, you know, paramedics, there's a special camaraderie in our population. So, you know, I've heard countless stories from many of my patients that have gone to other treatment centers and they're with other, quote, civilians, close quote, and they just don't have that level of trust and that feeling of belonging. So what we do with my program is, you know, I'm the director of it, but all of my staff are either military veterans, former first responders themselves, or people that have worked extensively with first responders. So we know what's going on, and there's just kind of an immediate connection that first responders have with one another, as well as military. So it's a safe place for them.
You were recently speaking to a group of FBI leaders in Chicago, and I believe that Sierra Tucson's parent company, Acadia Healthcare, has a relationship already with the FBI, correct, Bill?
That is true. We are partnered with the FBI National Academy Associates, which is an elite law enforcement organization. So We have the honor of taking care of many law enforcement officers throughout the country.
What was your message to this group of FBI leaders?
It's okay to raise your hand and ask for help, basically. I think many police departments around the country are trying to destigmatize, but it's an uphill battle, Bill. So just letting people know, especially leaders, to share that message that it's okay to ask for help, because a healthy cop or a healthy firefighter is a more effective one.
You talked about the integrative model of care. Typically, that involves there's meditation, talk therapy, certainly kind of grounding techniques. Generally, Bill Reynolds, what kind of process are we talking about time-wise? What is kind of the chronology of someone's care?
So, after,
or does it vary with each individual?
Well, it varies.
To a certain extent, but there must be kind of a model of chronology.
Correct. Yeah. So whenever anybody comes into Sierra Tucson, we determine the most appropriate track, as we say, that they'll be assigned to. For example, let's say the addiction track. But I like to emphasize that that doesn't mean that they're not going to get treatment for trauma, mood, anxiety, or chronic pain or whatever. So each individual person that comes to us, their care is individualized, and we sit down and we do individualized treatment plans. Some of the individualized trauma therapies that we do is something called EMDR, which your audience may have heard of. Another one is somatic experiencing. And these are all, you know, very, very evidence-based trauma treatments that help us, that help the patients kind of re-engage and helps them deal with the trauma in a safe manner. And it's good that they're in a residential program, because to do this, some of this work as an outpatient certainly can be dangerous if it's not done by a skilled therapist.
And you have a beautiful facility here, and a lot of people don't really know about Sierra Tucson, Bill.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. We're on, gosh, I don't know how many acres, I believe 100-something acres, but anyways.
It's a beautiful campus.
It's a beautiful campus. It's kind of like a community college campus. It is not a lockdown facility. We have people average well over 100 people up there at any given time. We have a pool. We have a gym. We're big proponents of physical fitness. We even have a physical therapist, a chiropractor, you name it. It's, with the integrated care, it really is wonderful to have access to all those resources. And so, we work well as a team.
So
it's
you
great.
Think that the integrative approach certainly is one of the things that's been very critical in your success rate, and that the team really seems to, well, they have a background in many cases as military or first responders, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And that kind of, I don't know, welcome you to the tribe, for want of another word.
Yeah, yeah. We tell people in my program, we're your tribe, and it just makes a world of difference with our residents, knowing that they have people taking care of them that are skilled and that understand.
If there's someone listening right now that would like to learn more, what would be the best approach, Bill Reynolds?
Best way is you could go to the website. You could go to sierratucson.com. It has our admissions phone number on there. The other thing I'd like to just let the audience know is that we are now approved to take overflow people from the Veterans Administration. So if there's any military...
I wondered about that, if you had a connection now with the VA.
Yeah, because, you know, the VA they're stretched to the gills. And I know that the VA does the absolute best with what they have. Tucson VA is great, but for anybody that needs treatment, whether it's addictions or trauma or whatever, we're standing by to help.
All right, Bill Reynolds, I really appreciate you coming in.
You're welcome. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Bill Reynolds, the Director of Military and First Responder Trauma Recovery Program at Sierra Tucson. And for more information about Sierra Tucson, visit their website, sierratucson.com. Their number, 800-842-4487. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show on 1030, The Voice, trusted local news and talk.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
All right, welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Very full hour for you. Now we're going to switch gears and talk about something very, very important about rattlesnake avoidance classes. The Humane Society of Southern Arizona has teamed up with Animal Experts Incorporated, which was established in 1991 by Mark Hammond and his partner, Jeff Carver. And they've been very successful, these classes, so far. We have Jeff and Mark with us in studio. And we also have a little guest, a little bit of a kind of a baby raccoon. You guys were out. First of all, welcome, gentlemen.
Thank
Great
you.
To see you.
Welcome. Thank you for inviting us.
Before you came over to the studio, you were out on a call. It's what you do. And there was a situation with a raccoon. Tell me about it, Mark.
Should I talk about raccoons as much as I love it, Jeff? Just yesterday, I was just telling Jeff that how frustrating raccoons are, because what they do is most people think that they're a family. They're not. They're solitary animals. So the only time you're ever going to see a group of raccoons is during the winter time. And after winter, the male will mate with the female. And then the female, she takes off and she tries to find a place to get away from any males. Because once she bears her young, the male's going to come around and kill these babies right here.
Really?
It's a sexual thing. He'll kill the babies simply because as long as she's in or she's lactating.
Yeah.
She can't go into heat. So if the male comes in, she's going to fight and fight and fight to do everything she can, you know, to keep the male from killing the babies.
But wow.
I think over the 3 decades, Jeff and I have had several phone calls from 911 and Sheriff's Department and that where, you know, they hear this terrible screaming going on and they don't know what it is because raccoons are in the bear family. So I've never heard it. I don't think Jeff's ever heard it. Hearing what a male and female go at it together. But now we know what it is. If we get a call at 3 a.m, it's a male inside trying to kill the babies.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I had no idea, Jeff, this was
Well, yeah, and then when the babies start getting active just in a good scenario, they can be very, very vocal. And I've had people that have actually moved out of their house because they couldn't get any sleep because of the noise that was being kicked up.
Yeah, and they can get into a small space up in the crawl space above the... Yeah. So I know we have raccoons. We've had some up on our property in the foothills, but are they quite common, Jeff Carver, here in Tucson?
Oh, very much so. I remember...
I mean, the heat doesn't bother them or anything?
No. 29 years ago when we started, we turned in our first report to Game and Fish, and they were astounded with how many raccoons we dealt with then. And now that we've been in business for this long, it's multiplied, I don't even know how many fold, how many raccoon calls will we get.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about this rattlesnake avoidance classes, Mark Hammond. How did all of this come about? And I know they've been very popular.
I think it came about with if I remember correctly, Paul. Yeah.
Right.
We do have a partnership with Adobe Dog Training.
Okay.
The guy that owns that, his name is Paul Blauschild.
Okay.
And we've known Paul because Jeff and I, going back, how Jeff and I know one another is both of us retired from Pima Animal Care Center. We were both in management there for 28, 29 years. And we got into wildlife while we were working there. Well, Paul is a contractor for a Pima Animal Care Center. So it was at one of our home shows at the Tucson Convention Center, I think. Is that how it started?
Yeah, Paul approached me and asked that if we could do snake handling for the snake avoidance training. And to be honest, at the time, I told him, well, you know what? I catch rattlesnakes. I'm really not interested in playing with them.
Right.
And during the course of the show, his dog and I were playing one morning, and Mark shows up with all our rattlesnakes for our display at the Saba Home Show. I went and put them away, and I went back over to play with Paul's dog again, just because that's the kind of person I am.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, I couldn't get the dog anywhere near me. And I looked at Paul, and I was, what's wrong with your dog? He says, you smell like rattlesnake now.
Wow. Smell like rattlesnake.
Yeah, because I was on the other side of the arena. He hadn't seen me with a snake. So at that point, I was like, okay, let's talk. I can get behind something that works that well.
Yeah. Is it successful, Mark, these avoidance classes?
Yes.
And what's the key? What's the key to this?
I think the key is what Jeff was just saying right here. A lot of it has to do with the smell. So when we train the dogs, what we're doing is we're training the dog's senses, you know, as far as seeing the snake itself, actually hearing the sound of the rattle, and the most important one is the olfactory sense, smelling it. So many times people will come to us, not only did their dog get bit once by a rattlesnake, but it's bitten twice by a rattlesnake because they think after the first time the dog would know a little bit better. And then after spending $3,000 to $7,000 on, or sometimes losing dogs that they actually die, they come to us for snake avoidance training. So what we do is we use electronic collars. We shock the dogs. But it's not a full aversion. We're not shocking the dog every time it goes to a different station.
Mm-hmm.
What we've learned in the last 10 years is we're finding out that sometimes the praise from the owner works just as well as the shock. So quite often, sometimes the dogs only have to be shocked once or twice. And then after that, when the dog starts responding to the snake as far as being on a leash, he walks behind the owner or he puts on the brakes, the trainer will tell him, praise your dog, praise your dog, praise your dog. And it works well.
That seems to reinforce that then.
Yeah. Correct. Huh?
Go ahead.
We've probably done maybe about, 600, 700 so far this season.
Wow.
And a lot of times we'll get people to come back and they'll say, it's work, you know, their dog actually went outside and actually smelled a rattlesnake or saw one or going for a walk. But we probably have, about a 95% success rate. There are about 1 out of every 100 that have to come back. We have to retrain them.
We're speaking with Mark Hammond and Jeff Carver, both of them were veterans of Pima Animal Care, right? Both
yes,
of you,
correct.
That's how you guys kind of hooked up and you established your own company, which has done so well. It's called Animal Experts Incorporated, been around since 1991, and millions of viewers were introduced to Mark and Jeff, being featured on 9 episodes of National Geographic's Animal Extractors. Several years later, they were featured on 8 episodes of National Geo Wilds, When Nature Calls. There's so many wildlife questions that I have, not just, we've been talking a little bit about raccoons and rattlesnakes, but there's so many questions. I'm actually going to bring you gentlemen back a week from today, and if any of our listeners have questions, they can call then at 790-2040, because we haven't even gotten into the situation with mice and bats and squirrels and birds. I mean, I follow what you do, Mark, on Facebook. You're really good about that, and I'm always amazed. Sometimes you'll like show a family of owls or something. You're dealing with really all sorts of wildlife, aren't you, in this community?
Correct. Yes.
Is this generally a very rich area for wildlife, despite the fact that it gets 110 degrees in July?
I was just talking to a retired wildlife biologist. Uh-huh. And he came over to the house. He wanted to borrow a rattlesnake because he's working with a production company out of Britain. And I said, is that true that there's more herpetologists here in southern Arizona than anywhere else in the world? He goes, yeah, it is true. And he goes, they all come here to retire because we never retire. But he said that, as you probably know, this is one of the most, isn't it, Jeff, biodiverse areas in the world.
Right.
Because there are many animals here, especially a lot of reptiles that are here that you're never going to find anywhere else in the world. Mm-hmm. So that's why you get a lot of production companies that love to come out here.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Jeff.
When National Geographic came out for our first television series, they allotted 3 weeks to come out here and do filming.
Sure.
They were actually with us for 3.5 months.
Wow.
Because we kept giving them different animals. And, mm-hmm. and you know, a lot of people, there's several animals, you know, I'll get calls all the time that people have no idea when they describe what they're hearing or something like that. And I'll tell them, well, it's a raccoon. Oh, no, we don't have raccoons here. Yes, we do. You know, so a lot of people are just unaware of everything that we do have here.
And then there's the situation with bats. I, for one, I'm not afraid of them, but a lot of people are, correct, guys?
That's true. And right now, a lot of people are getting frustrated because I've been getting calls daily on bats, and I'll have to explain to them that right now it's maternity season, and we can't get bats out of houses and out of the attics because they may have babies up there. So we mm-hmm. have to let that cycle run through before we can even address a bat issue.
All right, we had a call about a snake question. What was that one, Bob? Bring that up again. Does Snake Away, I guess that's a product, work? Gentlemen, do you know anything about that? Can you comment on that, Jeff Carver?
Snake Away is basically grandma's old-time mothballs. If you open up the package, that's what you'll smell. It's naphthalene.
Yeah.
And it always amazed me because if you go buy a box of mothballs, it tells you it's against it's an EPA violation to put it on the ground. But if you do it under the auspice of being Snake Away, you can do that. I can't speak directly to the product. I can tell you I have put some on the ground and watched a snake crawl over it.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, that tells us something. Another caller wants to know, do we have armadillos here? What is an armadillo, Jeff Carver?
Armadillos,
have you ever seen them here in town?
We have one in my house.
What?
But he's stuffed.
Oh, he's okay.
No, they're the little. I know they have them in Texas. They have them along the southern coast.
Okay.
No, we don't. We don't have indigenous armadillos here.
What is the number one issue right now you guys are dealing with?
It's rattlesnakes at this time of the year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What can you tell our listeners about some good common sense things about when they're out watering or out around the house about rattlesnakes before we go?
Don't put your hand someplace that you can't see it first.
Always kind of watch your movement.
Right.
Right. And they're going to look for a cool place around the house.
Yeah, and a lot of it is just a situational awareness. Be aware of things around you. I always tell people, don't wear your earbuds playing your music
sure.
when you're working in the yard, because the rattlesnake has a warning system.
And you would hear that audio from the rattlesnake right, as that right. warning. Jeff and Mark Hammond and Jeff Carver of Animal Experts Incorporated, we're going to bring you back a week from today on the Buckmaster Show. Where can people find out more about your operation, Jeff Carver?
You can go to our website at animalexpertsinc.com. You can look for us on Facebook, Animal Experts, Inc. We post a lot of videos on all the things that we do, as you mentioned earlier.
Great. Great to see you both. Thank you very much.
Thanks,
on behalf of Mark and Jeff and Bob Dio on the other side of the glass, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Thanks for being with us. Had a very full hour today. Back with you at 12:04 tomorrow. Have a great afternoon.